No fly list.
As far as the no fly list.
If you're on that list.
The most problematic thing is that
anyone can be under the investigation of the FBI. FBI.
And I know that something really good is going to come out of all of this.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another week of the No Fly List, where we talk to comedians, artists, and other interesting people of color. I'm Athir.
I'm a mama. And this week we had Kanice Mobley. Kanice is a writer, a comedian. She has a podcast. She's like one of my favorite people to talk to because she's so introspective, and just like has like a really good idea of how to be so organized and like has like her life together, in my opinion. So it was a really fun episode. We talk a lot about like the techniques that she uses to keep.
She's very structured and organized too. Yeah, which I really related to, being a very type A person who's got lists upon lists. And so it was cool. Like, she's always kind of working on, you know, her self-improvement and, like you said, being introspective, which I find is, with comedians especially, sometimes that can be harder to find, as we know.
Oh, for sure. I think with comedians especially, it's hard because, like, we don't ever, a lot of people don't think and reflect as they should, even though, like, we listen to our sets and stuff. But, you know, Kanice is great, and she also has, like, really good goals that she gives herself every week, which is really cool. So she has, like, we talk about this in the episode, but this week, like, my goal for her was to go to an outdoor bar and just like make a friend.
Yeah, I would chicken out on that. And she took the challenge. I was like, you let me know how that goes. Yeah, she's not afraid of being uncomfortable and getting out of the comfort zone. And here's the thing that, you know, I feel like with comedians especially, there's that false narrative, right? We talked about, like, if you get help or then you're not funny anymore, or people like don't want to acknowledge because they think their neuroses and their craziness is what's making them funny. And it's like, no, you're just now actually kind of not taking ownership of your role in writing and creating and really putting it on things that are, you know, outside of you and your talent and your work ethic.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I just like the way that she like structures her day and structures everything like around her. I feel like that's like the way to go. And yeah, comedians, we don't have to be like super out of the place, all over the place. I think it's important to know that like self-help and self-care is like equally important as like writing every day or whatever.
Yeah, I just feel like some people think it's like not cool to talk about, but I'm like all about talking about self-care and stuff. But I feel like maybe it's more with, you know, not to generalize, with the male comedians especially, as we know they're harder to express their feelings. So I don't know. It's really cool that she has found a way to that works for her. And I think she's got like a lot of like really good tips on how you can start, just, you know, with journaling or something really simple. Because as writers too, I mean, we shouldn't just be thinking of writing jokes, but sometimes you have a little bit of writer's block and it's good to just like start writing in the morning, the first thing that kind of comes to your mind, and just let that kind of creative energy just sort of flow.
Yeah, I know. It's a really fun episode. I feel like everyone's going to learn a lot. But before we get to it, let's do our first segment, the No Fly List. And this is basically our shit list of people we feel like don't deserve to get
fly
on the plane near us. So this week, Athir, who's on our no fly list?
Ooh, well, this week, I know a lot of people might be seeing their families for the holidays. So I want to put that annoying family member that is always asking you, you know, about your dating life or in our case, our marriage life, if we're married or not, basically, or comments on your appearance, or it's just that extended family member that you only see on holidays and you're like having to brace yourself every year. So there's one in every family. So to everyone listening, this year they're on our no-fly list, kind of shit list.
Yeah, and if you are going home, I think a good way to deal with them is just to be like, so there's a pandemic, and then just walk away.
You know what worked for me once? It's a pandemic. Just I had a family friend. It's more like extended family. They commented on something. Either I gained weight or lost too much weight. It's always something. And then it was definitely like a backhanded kind of compliment. And I just smiled and said, thank you. And genuinely, I think
that's like the best way to go.
Yeah, and I think they were just like, because what else are you supposed to say when someone gives you like this weird backhanded compliment? You have nothing to come back with. And I was just like overly kind of like, you know, enthusiastically like, yeah, thank you, fucking bitch. That can be the undertone. But hopefully no one in your family is a fucking bitch, but let's be real. 70 million of
there's
you
always
voted
one
for
person
Trump.
In the family that like pushes everyone's buttons. I feel like that's like universal. There's not like you have to have at least one person.
Yeah, just statistically like, speaking.
Exactly.
If you don't, it's you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's so true. If you don't, that's you're 100% that person that no one else wants to be around. And they talk shit about you on their podcast. That's
you're on someone's no-fly list.
And with
but
brown
if you
people
are
could also be a fam. Yeah, with brown people could also be a family friend.
It's, oh, that's
we
true.
We have so many aunts and uncles.
Oh, yeah. And they basically everyone's family and everyone feels like they have a right to comment about you or your body or your personal life or whatever. There are zero boundaries is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh my God. There's never, people are so annoying. Well, I don't know. I feel like if you have to deal with your family, just maybe just listen to our podcast instead.
Oh, and
like if they start talking.
Yeah. And then also if you are on the prowl for maybe some romantic prospects, Kenise also gives some really good dating advice, and she actually has her own podcast about relationships, and you heard her co-host Rohan in a previous episode, so I think you guys will love Kenise as much as we do, so enjoy.
I'm so excited to have you on the pod. This is you're one of my favorite people to talk to.
Thank you so much.
Every time I've done your podcast, I feel like rejuvenated afterwards, and I feel like I have new goals. So I know the last time we talked, you said that you had, what did you have, like a journal, or you were writing down goals in like a thing?
Yes. So every day I have my notebook, or it's not a notebook, it's a planner. So every day I write down my to-do list. That's like a big part. I try to write it the night before so I can just like, hey, don't forget any of these elements and start off the day with intention. And then I have like goals lists that I keep generally. I think the last time we spoke, it was right after I had written down like, okay, 6 months, you don't know if the world's going to get back to normal, but in this time you want to have accomplished these things. And they're like broad things like get a little bit better in French and like do some workbooks around self-esteem and stuff like that. So yeah, I love a good goal. I love tracking.
That's
it.
Awesome. I love a good self-help workbook. Yes. Oh, it's so nice. And Kenise, I don't know you as well. And I'm, you're someone that I've always wanted to get to know more. So this is the perfect.
Yeah, that's what podcasts are.
For us all. They're really just a way for comedians to make friends and adults to make friends, because it's awkward otherwise. Like, hey, do you want to talk to me for an hour and let me ask you questions about your whole life?
I wish that was normal, though.
But yeah, somehow that's weirder than doing it publicly, yeah. Right?
I honestly, I don't know about
it's
you
like
guys.
Going on a date, yeah.
Yeah, but I go up to people.
Yeah, it's like going on a date on a
podcast. Go up to people all the time and I say, do you want to be my friend? I've done this as an adult. I'm 30 years old. I've done this at a bar and it
but
worked.
But that's why you're the one that ties us all together, Amama. Yeah. I'm like the one that's like, no, I'm still like shy and like, I don't want
to. No, you're normal.
I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm going to get rejected.
Wait, Amama, what has the result of that been? Like, have you created lasting friendships through the process of going up to strangers?
It's here right now. This is a product
really?
Of
yeah,
Amama.
That is. Whoa! I was like, you're so cool. I want to be like your best friend. And then a year
later. We have a podcast. That's what happens.
Hell yeah. It worked.
I've done this, and Kenise, you've heard me tell stories and a theory. Obviously, you've been to this bar, but the bar near my house, like the reason I became friends with everyone, I was like, wow, you guys are so fun. Can I be friends with you? And now I have like a little community when like things get dark and bleak in the next few months. They're all my neighbors, and I could just be like, hey, guys.
That's so nice. Yeah. That's ideal.
I know. Thank you. I know, Kenise, did you, so the last time we talked, so you had your goal workbook, you were going to post a thirst trap. And you
I
were
did
gonna...
post a thirst trap.
Ooh.
Oh, yay.
That's something I've yet to do.
I posted one thirst trap. It was me at the beach. I'm wearing a bathing suit. And people were like, oh, you have a body? You possess physical form? And I was like, yes, bitch, I do.
Did you get any weird DMs?
No, I get weird DMs for other reasons. I get weird DMs because I like post about being a creep. I get weird, like, I post like, I'm sad about politics, send me nudes, and then I get nudes, so.
Wait, really?
Oh, so it works.
Yeah.
And this is a good thing?
It's like a fun thing to me. Like, just as a, like, you know what? This does distract me from the fact that our Supreme Court is stacked against us. Thank you for this picture of your penis. Thank you.
Wow.
You hear that, men? If you're wondering where to send your dick pics, Kenise is accepting them only when she asks.
Only when I ask for them. Never just unsolicited. Yeah.
Don't send, just as a general rule of thumb, don't send an unsolicited dick pic. No one wants to see a dick out of context.
No, exact, true.
Or surprised. Yeah. No.
No, absolutely not. Also,
you got to be mental.
I got my first one this year. Not my first one ever. My first one this year. And I was
okay.
But it was so out of the blue, and I didn't recognize the number, and I didn't know if it was like to the right person. But I just looked at it, and I was like, oh my God. So it was like really shocking. And it had like an I vote bracelet over it. And I was like, this is not for me.
Wow.
So I was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Who is this?
Can I ask you a follow-up question? A bracelet is not normally was it doubled over? Or are we talking about a freak of nature here?
No, it was just like hanging.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, that's terrifying. If it's just filling that bracelet, I am afraid for you more than anything else.
Oh, no. I would have just like dropped my phone and been like, never again. I can't. No, but I didn't know who it was from. So it was just like a weird thing where I was like, oh, I don't like, thank you, but no, what is this? It was like very like, and I was eating dinner too. So it was around like 6 o'clock and I had just voted. So I was in line for 2.5 hours. I was very tired.
Right.
I was like, did someone on the line, like, just to figure out my number?
Airdrop that to you?
Just airdropping it to everyone on the line?
You got some patriotic deck.
No, but
So, Kenise, can I... Sorry, I wanted to ask, like, what are some of the things, if you don't mind sharing, like, some of those things, like, on, like, the, you know, daily practice list or, like, the goals list that help you?
Oh, okay. So my morning pages, and like that is part of the artist way. And I have I have signed things telling myself that I'm going to finish the book. I've never finished a book. I have started and restarted and restarted. But I do find the morning pages super helpful to just like get my thoughts out. And also like seeing the thoughts on paper is like, wow, you're really fixating on this thing that does not matter. Or like what about this is drawing your attention here? Or like, let's get into why you may actually feel that way versus just like, this is the feeling that you have and accepting that as a blanket reality, like going a step further and being like, okay, well, actually it's because, you know, you probably didn't need to have 2 drinks last night and you haven't slept. And this is a thing that's picking at an insecurity that you have, but really doesn't have anything to do with you at all. So like really getting into that, I find so helpful. Also every day is exercise. Like I have the podcast listeners can't see this, but I have an elliptical behind me, and so like I just try to use it every day.
We can attest to it. There is half an elliptical in frame, so we're gonna go the other half on trust.
Thank you. I would love it if that was like a prop for Zoom specifically.
Just half
of an elliptical. You can buy it online. It's great. It lets people think that you're good person. Yeah. It's great.
People think you exercise. It takes up half the space as a real elliptical, and you don't have to do anything. Perfect. You get all the praise.
Do stuff in the workbook. I'm trying to, this sounds you know what? Judge me if you want to. I'm trying to get back into reading. Like, I was not reading.
Oh, my God. I know. Me, too. I'm a terrible reader.
When you said I've never finished.
About it. I do audiobooks.
I cannot even. Audiobooks are. I should probably do that. I've tried to read The Artist's Way, and I've finished it. I've not finished it. I've started it, restarted it about, like, I think 10 times. And I feel the same way about books in general. I don't think I've read a full book this year.
Audiobooks help. I joined a book club. It's my twin sister's book club, and she gets mad at me if I don't do it. So it's like, okay, be part of an organization that makes you feel guilt if you don't read. And then audiobooks.
Accountability is yes. important. Yeah.
Audiobooks are public so helpful. Shame. Yeah.
Audiobooks are great. Yeah. I mean, because I'm addicted to podcasts. I love listening to podcasts whenever, I mean, I'm constantly listening to something, so I'm like, oh, I could just do an audiobook and then actually like learn other things that I wouldn't have because I'm too lazy to read or too unfocused to just sit in one spot and read.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's not. The one thing I would suggest if you guys like to like write screen like scripts and stuff, I have been reading the Blacklist scripts, and a lot of those like end up becoming movies eventually. So it's like I think there's like 20 people per year that make it. And they're all really interesting and really fun. It's the only way that I can read. I don't know what it is, but I think
Have you listened to the podcast?
No, I didn't know
that. They used to make a lot of these into a podcast, and I loved it. Like, I would listen to it at work. So I hope it's still available. So like, if you are like, I want to read more scripts, understand a little bit more about script writing. They used to, like, every month or so, they would, like, have actors and, like, some sound effects and, like, really make it feel cinematic in the way that they would do these readings of the Blacklist scripts.
That's so cool.
I don't know if it's still available, but it was great. And if you can find it, I 100% recommend it as a way to, like, churn through scripts and get better at script writing.
Oh my God, wait, I'm actually going to do that. Amazing. It's like the Blacklist scripts are like the one thing that's like helped me now to like write properly too. And some of them are really good. I'm just like, this is such a good idea. I want to think about this.
I hope that it's available somewhere because that was like days. I would just like be at work like enthralled in a narrative and like trying to look busy. But yeah, I love it so much.
Do you have certain, because I know like winter is here, not even coming up, and like as like stand-up shows are like basically.
Every day is like a different season though.
Yeah, no, tomorrow will be 60 degrees, but still.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be in the park all weekend just soaking up the sun.
I think it's like the last, I keep saying it, I'm like it's the last warm weekend and then December rolls around, it's like 75.
Yeah, we'll be like, it's the last one. We have to party extra
global
hard.
Global warming.
Yeah.
Don't worry. A warm day is just around the corner, as is our impending
yes.
day.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have, like...
But enjoy it, you know, while it lasts.
I know. I'm going to be in the park, I think, Sunday. Is Sunday's... I hope... Hopefully Sunday's also warm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, like, certain goals that you've, like, come up with to help you during, like, this... I don't want to say like second lockdown, but essentially it is.
It's essentially the second lockdown.
Yeah, second lockdown.
Because the first one, it was a lockdown because literally nothing was open. This time it's a lockdown because like, in addition to having to close businesses because COVID numbers are so crazy, it's also like fucking cold. So like,
yeah.
I'm not hanging out outside and I'm not hanging out in people's homes in a group. I'm like, it's it. No, thank you. So one thing I'm trying to create schedules that I can follow. So I just started a part-time job. And so I'm doing the part-time job and it actually makes sure that I get out of bed at a certain time. So I feel like I've been more productive, even though I technically have less time. But yeah, like I
totally feel that because it really does force you to structure your time when you have more going on because you know you can only fit in your stuff within a certain time frame versus when you're like, yeah, I've got all day, all night. But this definitely like breaks up the day. What's your part-time job?
So actually it's connected. So Athir, I have watched your pitch for Muslim Girls DTF a few times. But
oh, yeah, and
we were
like,
y'all together.
Briefly in the Laughter Lab panel overlapped on day, like it was crazy.
So the organization that organizes that, now I work for them.
Oh, that's so dope.
CMSI.
Yeah, CMSI. I now am their like comedy consultant coordinator.
I love them. That's great. Shout out CMSI. I was Kenise and I, Katie Hannigan, you know, Kenise, you were part of Katie's project, right? Or was it something you, Jaffer, and Katie all
So Katie came up with it. Katie went through the process of getting it into y'all and getting to the second round. And then she was like, okay. Oh, I guess I want additional writers. And so she was like, hey, do you have an interest in this? And I was like, actually, I majored in history, so I'm like super into it. And so then boom, 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 started writing with her on that.
Cool. It was a cool. It was really cool. Do you want to explain
sure.
that?
You're
like, because we're both like talking.
Yeah. Like, what's going on? And I just smiled. Like, this is so sorry, cool. Sorry, congratulations sorry. To both. Of you.
So the Yes and Laughter Lab is it gives you money for projects.
It's like an accelerator for pitching. So if you have a project, whether it's a script or I guess if you know, it has to be tied to some sort of social justice cause.
Okay.
And yeah, they take you through how to pitch your project. And then actually, you know, if you make it through finals, then you get to pitch your project in front of industry and they help you with all of that. So it's really cool. I've learned so much from it.
And then can you
I'm happy that we've gotten to connect to so many people. What'd you say, Mom?
And then your specific project, what was that?
And then your connection is with...
So my project was Moments in Time. So looking at something like how the pandemic affected meat workers and then go into how there are other times in history where like specifically meat workers have taken the brunt of issue, social thing, whatever, and how people care way less about meat workers' rights than they care about like what's in their meat or that their meat gets to them on time.
That is,
I loved the project. The pitch was so cool. I thought it was real. And I'm someone who like hates history, but watching it, I was like, I would watch this. I could learn some stuff. It's like audiobooks for history.
It's nerdy shit.
There are audiobooks for
history. I'm just looking for the shortcuts. Yeah, but they're boring. This is funny. This was like really funny and graphic and it was really cool. So yeah, I saw Katie in the beginning and then you and Jaffer showed up and I was like, wait, did I miss something? Because I know there was a couple that meetings I missed and my co-creator Isa was on the meeting. So I was just like, oh, familiar faces, other comics. Yeah. I was like, this is really cool. On that tangent. But so I was wondering what your part-time job is. And because it really does make you, and I know Amama, obviously you work a ton. I don't know how you balance things, but you always get shit done.
It's like the immigrant mentality. Like honestly, when I was in, oh my God, what was it? Even when I was teaching, because it was like through Teach for America, like you teach all day and then you do Teach for America shit at night. So like, I don't know what it is. Like it kind of that plus grad school immediately after has just made me into like a crazy person where I'm just like,
you're just trained to work 24/7
now. It's also like the way that I work. Like I know that I can finish my actual day job work when I do like admin work for the Department of Education in 3 hours. That means I have the rest of the day to do whatever the fuck I want. And that's what I do. Like the rest of the day I'll write, I'll work on some stuff. And then at night before it got really cold, I like to like keep that time for me to like go grab a drink, go for a walk. And now that it's like cold again, I'm just going to take an acting class. So it's just like the
hell
way.
Yeah.
So I think it's literally like the way that my brain is just like.
You're always
your
trying
life.
To fill your time
my
with
whole
something.
Life yeah. In that way. Like I like worked 4 jobs when I was like 15. So then like
Jesus.
I'm just conditioned. Yeah, but
you really took the immigrant mentality.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Full
on. Oh please. I think in like I don't know, Kadis, if your family's like this, but at some point I didn't have a job for like a summer and my mom was like, "Oh, so you're being lazy." I was like, "It's my first summer off in years." And I was like a teacher at the time.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, yeah, you get those summers off. You're right.
Exactly.
For having to wake up early all the time, which is disgusting. My mom, how do I put this? I just keep changing what it is that I do during the day. And she's just like, I don't understand what you do. I know you're always able to pay your bills and you've never asked me for money. So, like, I guess as long as you're happy, do whatever you want. Like,
yeah, you're a self-sufficient adult. It's not like, I guess it's different if you'd be calling them for, you know, money and whatever when you're younger and you're still dependent on them, but that's cool. I think still my parents would be like, wait, what are you doing? What, like, I they're still trying to get me to go back to get my PhD.
Why?
I don't know, because they think comedy is not real, because they think this is still a hobby like 10 years later.
Like, okay. You could, like, she'll grow out of win it. Some like major award and they'll be like, all right, cool. And, like, they don't give a fuck.
That's wild.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, Kanise, I'm going to get to our first segment because, like I said, winter's coming up and I'm sad all the time. Mm-hmm.
It's cuffing season.
And because you have also a podcast, Love About Town, you can help us out with some dating questions. So this segment is called 50 Shades of Brown.
And, okay.
All of our listeners who will like write in questions are mostly black or brown people. So,
hell yeah.
This question, though, is pretty universal. I have not found anyone for the winter. Any advice for someone who needs to find a pandemic partner in the next few weeks? What should I use?
Okay. Wow. Great question. Okay. So I think if you've been using traditional apps, switch apps. Okay. Mix it up a little bit. You've already been seen by all the people on the apps that you're on regularly that you've been on for a while, okay? Those people all know you, and they've either said yes or no. So pause it. Get on another one. I suggest a weird one. I always, like, if I'm like, you know what, Tinder and Hinge just aren't working for me, I go to OkCupid because that's where the weirdos live, okay? And right now, you need a group of people who similarly did not find the one over the summer, and that's where you're gonna find these people. Okay,
is the leftover pool is in?
That's where all the leftovers are.
But
and
don't you have to answer like 50,000 questions?
You can answer. You mean you get to answer 50,000 questions? You mean you have the ability to make your matches?
Ooh, homework.
Yes, homework. Your matches can be more tailored to your taste. You can like literally select. Like, there's a question that's like, do you want to date someone during the pandemic for this? And you can be like, yes and no, and only search for people who also want the same things you want. Oh, so like, people shit on OkCupid because it's weird, but match percentage,
that is so wait, yeah. So I can't believe that they adjusted that for the, that's,
oh my
so
God.
Interesting.
Can you hear the OkCupid spokesperson?
I swore off so I swore off dating sites right before the pandemic. 2 weeks before, I deleted everything. I was like swearing off dating, all this stuff, and then the pandemic hit, and now I haven't gotten back on any apps and have no real desire to. But that's a good idea to just like switch it up. I did try one that was like Meet Mindfully because it kept coming up on my Instagram. So it's for other people who like, you know, meditate and are into this kind of stuff, and people who are looking for something a little bit more of an emotional connection. But, and I was like, okay, this is cool, I'll try it. And there were some cool people, but I think at the time I was just wanting something more casual, and people on there wanting something more serious, which never happens. It's usually the reverse.
Yeah.
But at the time, I had just gotten out of a breakup, so I was like, I don't want anything serious. But I do recommend that one. But a lot of it is like a lot of crunchy granola, I was saying yoga, kind of vegan. You
is
know,
it all
so
white
just
people?
Be prepared for that.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Well, you know what? It's a good mix. I think it just gets to know your taste or preferences, just like the other apps. So I don't think I was getting a lot of like white people. Like, no, it's like okay, it's two types of people.
Okay.
It's like fresh off the boat Indian people who've been practicing yoga their entire life, like, but actually like real, like living mindfully. And then it's like the white people that cooperate. But both. Both didn't seem like appropriate for me, but then there was, I'm sure some, oh, and they only send you like a few like matches a day. So they really try to get you to like read the profile, and I think you can't just swipe at, you have to actually read people's profiles. So yeah, it was really interesting. It kept popping up on my Instagram. I'm sure it's still on
that
there,
sounds...
but I tried it and then I deleted everything. So
I feel like
but
that sounds too much work. Like I love so many options that I get overwhelmed and I put my phone away.
Why? You're okay. The work that you're putting in means that it's less work later. You're operating from a false sense of what is taking up your time and presenting you with positive options.
That's true. I know. But at the same time, I also have like
The way you phrase that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Can you guys help me overcome my commitment issues where I'm like, no, I want a relationship. And then something comes along. I'm like, I'm very scared. I don't know what to do. There was some boy who was like really nice to me lately. And I was just like, I don't know. He's up to something. And my roommate was like, no.
Liking
just,
you?
Yeah,
the thing like, he's up to is liking you?
She's
okay.
Like, it seems like he's like really into you. And I was like, oh, I don't know. That's weird. I don't know if there's like.
You're worth being very into.
Oh,
so
thank you. Thank
talk to him.
Have you?
Or don't. He could be like trash and into you. It does, just because someone's into you doesn't mean.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm so jaded. Like, I'm like, of course, Amama, you're a babe. Guys are going to be into you. But then there's just a lot of creepy guys. And so I'm jaded at this point that I'm like, yeah, something probably is up. Something is, like, let's stalk. I need the overprotective part of me. I went with a mama to her neighborhood bar, and I was like, "Tell me everyone." I'm like, "Oh, so this is this person," and I was like, ready to like drop kick some people.
I've been with everyone in my listening. Neighborhood bar is what Theo is trying to say in a nice way, and I'll just say it on the podcast. So like,
nice.
But it was over a span of a summer and fall.
Yeah,
they're all my neighbors, and yeah, she had every right. They all were awful. So I think maybe that was part of. I had a limited pool. It was whoever was literally 6 feet away from me.
There.
That is, yeah. Created that pool.
I did.
It's not as though that pool, like some mandate thing, and you're only allowed to talk to the, you created that pool.
I did. I absolutely did. Have you been seeing anyone?
I have. So I have been, so I wasn't seeing anyone for the first part. Like when everything got locked down, I was technically seeing this Australian guy, but he was in Canada, and then he had to go back to Australia, and then we just have not been speaking. And then I started seeing someone in June, and then stopped seeing them in August, and then started seeing somebody else. And then we stopped seeing each other 2 weeks ago, and I realized I was doing this thing where I'm like, oh, they seem nice, like they'll do, and I don't really like them, but I keep dating them because there's nothing wrong with them except for that I don't really like them.
There's no chemistry.
I mean, sometimes
they could be a good person and nice and cool. Or is there?
There is. There's. There'll be like physical chemistry, and they're perfectly nice, but like not at all who I actually see myself with long term, or like. Oh, they don't have some of these basic things that when I say, oh, this is what I would want in a partner, they don't have those things. So what am I doing? So stop doing that.
Pandemic partner.
Yeah.
Did you meet them on OkCupid?
Tinder. So these are people I met on Tinder, and then I deleted Tinder, and I deleted Hinge. And now I just have OkCupid, and not even on my phone, just online. So I don't just like fuck with it in bed when I'm trying to go to sleep, or like
on the toilet. Yeah. It's so
that's a really
easy
good
to just keep
tip. Working. I actually might try this. Like, I might try that. Just like be like mindful about it and like have it on my laptop. And then I'll like let you know if I actually meet someone cool.
I hope you do. I think you deserve it, and I would love to see you in a like fun, positive relationship.
I would too.
If that is what you want.
I think we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Inshallah. Yeah.
I will say, for the first time I never ask dudes out. And if I'm interested in someone, I very rarely communicate that I'm interested in them. I will do the chicken shit thing, or at least before pandemic, I would like ask them to go to the movies with a bunch of my friends, or like do these things that indicate
like a group.
Yeah, I'd indicate kind of thing, like, and then feel it out. You seem like a cool person. Or I did for a while. I was asking people to be on my podcast, so I think that there's like a string of people. Like if you look back at old episodes, you can be like,
"Well,
oh,
Kenise,
she's trying."
I'm glad you brought it up. Will you go out with me?
I wish I was into
this
women.
This is why we.
I've tried so hard to be into women.
I wish too. I really wish too. It makes me mad that I'm not. I was just thinking that this morning, like every day I think it. I'm just like, it really, if I could choose my sexuality, I would.
Yes, that's how I know that being gay is not a choice, because I would choose.
I know.
Like, my friends like one of my friends, she literally met a woman like a few weeks ago, and they're like basically living together. It's just so, it's like lesbians move really fast.
Listen, there's still time. Like, it's just I know people post divorce and kids, you know, there's still time, Kenise. Sorry,
Mama. No, I'm just saying, like, it's just so easy. There's no, like, it's like, no, I like you. I like you too. Let's share, like, all of our shit.
Let's communicate our
feelings. Oh my God, that would be lovely.
It's so nice.
It would just be like a podcast all the
time. That would be great.
It would be so great.
Have you been asking dudes out?
I asked one person out, and they said yes, and I'm going to go on the date.
Yeah.
This is so exciting.
It's because I'm like really, I have the deepest fear of rejection, even though like in some ways I do feel like I come off as quite confident. I have such a deep fear of rejection that I just never ask boys out in a way that actually communicates like, hey, yeah, is there interest or no?
This is
So I was like, hey, I just wrote a guy. I was like, hey, have I asked you out before? And he was like, what? And I was like, he was like, wait. I don't think so. And I was like, oh, that's surprising. I figured I would have. And he was like, wait, are you asking me out? And I was like, yes, consider this a soft ask. And he's like, well, yes, consider it a date. And I was like, hell yeah.
Oh my God. Also, the way that you did it is so smooth of like, oh, have I done this?
I can't even remember.
I just want to throw people out. I didn't know if I've done this with you before. That's literally how it comes. I think I want to use that. That sounds,
use it. Take yeah. it. You're welcome.
It's just, and like, the way, like, that's such an amazing way to do it because guys are probably like, wait, no, me, no, you want to? It really plays with the psychology of it.
He was not expecting that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
He wasn't at all.
It threw him off.
Where are you guys going to go?
Just to a bar, like an outside heaters.
Yeah.
Bar. Yeah.
Franklin Park is a great date spot. They have heaters.
Do they have heaters there?
I think my cousin just went on a date there. She called me yesterday and she was like, "I'm going on a date, Franklin Park." And I was like, "All right." And she doesn't do well with the cold, so I think they. She does not leave her house if it's too cold, so I'm assuming they have heaters, or else she would have been like, no.
Hell yeah. I'll check it out, because that's a 15-minute walk from me.
Yeah. I know. I love that level of... I think one of my goals for this, like, introspective time is just to... Because I come across very confident sometimes.
You do.
And I think lately it's just been, like, not so much, so now I'm like, no, let me, like, maybe read a book about, like... stuff, but I think more importantly, just like, it's so stupid to say it, but like just believing in yourself and so many different aspects of life, whether it's like career or like love, and
I think that you both like are definitely, you know, like Kenise, I don't know you as well, but as I said, but now we're best friends and we're going out on date. Maybe in 20 years.
Yeah, when we both finally are able to engineer our bodies to want other women.
Yes.
Yes, we're doing it.
Maybe there'll be medication out there.
Oh my God.
I was conversion therapy. I want it in the other direction. If it works, then please.
Pfizer, you turned around that vaccine real quick. You should start working on this now. Make it happen.
Please. You got two willing volunteers. But what I was saying is that confidence is such a... It's not really like a blanket term we can throw on people, because we can appear confident and be confident genuinely in certain situations. But when it comes to relationships, of course, like it brings out everyone's kind of insecurity. And I don't think that means that, you know, you're not confident as people or you don't have like good self-esteem. And we all, no matter how confident you are, everyone has those, like you said earlier, those kind of like insecurity points or those little like bruises where someone touches on it and you're like, But and it's really hard when it comes to relationships. It's not like men make it easier for us to like ask them out and approach them. So the fact that you even did that, like kudos, hell yeah. And like Amama, like, yeah, even just like being at the neighborhood bar by yourself, like that would terrify me. Like just to go to a bar alone and even just like talk to anybody. I would just like, I've never done that because I'm like, it's giving me hives now thinking about it.
We're going to find a bar for you. So like when like...
And you'll watch me in a nearby table.
Honestly, you should start that to service make sure I'm okay. Because I would also pay for that. Like I've done it a little bit, but mainly because I was like traveling and like I didn't know anyone, and so I had to be by myself. But I would love if someone was like, okay, so let's do a game day breakdown. Okay, so here you said this. Okay, you can't do that. That's bad. Okay, so these are your openings here. You draw on a little green screen.
I feel like you guys are both like just easy to approach and talk to. And first of all, we've all been around comedians and made like terrible small talk. So I think going to a bar is probably 10 times easier because you're not being like, oh yeah, what do you do? And like you have to pretend to care and pretend to be nice.
Or trying to one up each other's bits or trying to talk over men when you're just like trying to get a word in. I think that's why I talk louder in general now since I started doing comedy. I find I'm always yelling in conversations because I'm like, oh, I'm just used to talking to male comedians and trying to like vocalize anything.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be really easy, guys, because like just think about one of the worst like comedy hangs could be really fun, but like think about like some of like the early ones when you were like new to whatever scene and just being like, where am I? And then take a bar and just have fun with the bartender. That's how, like, before the pandemic, obviously, like I just became friends with the bartender. So then during like when things finally opened, it was like, oh my God, someone I know. And like in their head, the friendship was like accelerated because everyone's so lonely. So just
like, all right. That's a good tip. Befriend your bartender. Okay. That's just a good general life tip, I all think. Right. Maybe. Unless you're an alcoholic. Yeah.
Don't do that.
Stay away.
I think alcohol was how I managed that. Like, I drink so much less than I did when I was just starting comedy. Like, in Boston, bars all the time. And it was like, well, I need to be comfortable right now. Okay, well, I'll have a drink and, oh, I can talk to these people. What did I even say? Doesn't matter. Just, like, yeah.
How long were you, I always, like, so you and Rohan, were you in Boston at the same time?
Yeah.
How did you like the scene when you were, because I, like, when I was there, it was just all white dudes, and then,
yeah. So, Rohan started a little bit before me, and then also left a little bit before me, okay. So, he started, I want to say, like, 2011, 2012, I started 2013, and, yeah, we didn't become as good of friends until he lived here, like, in Boston, like, we weren't as close, and I think partially because it was, like, this environment is not good. This is questionable as an environment. A lot of white dudes. There are more comedians named Zach in Boston than there are comedians of color. So
yeah, that's true.
You just have to deal with that.
Yeah. I think that's like an actual fact.
That is. There were 8 Zachs that would attend the Middle East all the time.
Oh my God.
And as far as people of color, there would be like 2, 3, and you'd be like, okay, cool.
As a Middle East, yeah,
I was
just about to.
I was like, a theater.
Yes, sorry. Oh, you're like, what?
Wait, what?
yes,
the name. No,
I'm very confused.
Everyone showed up
why
in
are
brown
there so
face,
many?
And then just
some of them would have.
Yeah,
to be
that's true. The Middle East, and Kanis, you probably know better because it was when I did it twice, and there were like it was an open mic, it was a venue, and there were 50 people.
Yep.
On the list, and it was so anxiety provoking. I left the first time. I couldn't do it.
And like, that's you'd get 5 minutes though, and it's 50 people doing 5 minutes, so it would last like 4 hours, 5 hours into 1 a.m. in the morning. And if you were last, maybe you could go up as they were like literally locking the place up. It was so stress inducing, and it's like a Boston bar, so there are like townies there who don't give a shit about you, that there's comedy, so if you can make one person laugh, you're like, I have achieved something. Yep. This was a successful evening.
And
yeah,
a lot of comics are just in the back talking to each other and just talking shit, and then everyone has like their little groups, so yeah. Like I went when I was like really new, and I was just like, I have to leave, and I just left. And like I couldn't do it. It was a lot.
Yeah.
I started here, but it was so scary. I just never talked to anybody. I would just like either go with friends to open mics. I remember it took me so long to not go with my friend to an open mic and go to first open mic alone and talk to people. It's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying.
That's why you both can do bars alone. Like this is
no, because then you have a mic and you have like you're there with a purpose. I hate being in a place where you got nothing to
your
do.
Your purpose?
And you're
no,
just, like,
your
I just
goal
sit
is
here
to make a friend. That is literally your purpose and your goal.
Okay.
That's too hard.
I'm going to try it.
Or we just...
I'm going to give it a shot this weekend. Bars are going to be open.
Yep.
It's going to be 60 degrees in New York. I will talk to a person. This is my weekend goal.
Wow.
I have a list of things. Actually, I've transferred a lot of my to-do list to Google, and I have separate to-do lists like for work, for personal, for writing, for this and that. So I'm, you know what? Right now, as I talk to you guys, I'm adding talk to a stranger at a bar to Kanis's personal to-do list.
Oh, yay.
I love it. Kanis, I feel like we're the same person with these to-do lists and like, what sign are you?
I am a Scorpio.
Oh, no, I'm a Capricorn. I don't know anything about Scorpio.
We get a lot of shit.
We can't be friends. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can still be lovers.
20 years from now,
we can't be friends.
Let's meet at the top of the Empire State Building.
If it's still there.
If it's not underwater, yes. Let's do it.
Deal.
Scorpio, Capricorn, and Aquarius. I don't know what that... I'm going to look that up later. Aquarius is, I think...
Are you Aquarius?
Yeah, I get along with everyone.
I love... Well, we've talked about this.
I'm also a weirdo. Like, that's Aquarius. Why. I think Aquariuses are just fucking weird. So they like just... I don't know. That's what I heard.
Oh. I'm just like type A, and a lot of Capricorns are type A. That's why I thought Kanis, like, and maybe you're not type A.
I am. Well, it's like a weird type of type A that's like completely dependent on like
type A minus.
Yeah, type A minus. So it's like, I do okay, but it's purely out of like fear-based, you will fail and everyone will know that you're a failure. So therefore, you have to do things all of the time or else everyone will not respect you. So it's, you know, it's like a very healthy.
Very healthy, yeah. Motivated. I also
know.
Like.
No drawbacks.
Isn't it also part of just being a woman of color? Because that's in my, like, Athira and I have talked about this. It's like always in our heads of like, am I going to fail my community and me and everyone else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My entire, yeah, because we're meant to think that we're representing the entire village when we, you know, in our accomplishments. Yes. So, but we actually have this last segment where we like to reach across the aisle to our white folk. It's called Keeping Up with the Caucasians.
Nice. Love it.
So we like to break Wonder Bread, figure out, you know, talk about things that white people do, and then whether we as people of color also do these things and see what we have in common. So, Kenise, you get to choose the category of topics and let you go. So we have food or beverage, pop culture, TV, activities, style or clothes, phrases or sayings, and miscellaneous.
Ooh, let's do activities.
Activities. Oh, I got one. Not talking to your extended family.
Ooh, outside of people who have had like trauma or bad people in their family, yes, that is a...
Just like in general, not being close to like cousins or extended, someone outside of your immediate
family. That seems like a white person thing to me.
That seems like a white person. Do you have extended family and are you close with them?
I have extended family. We are not close, but we all talk. So we're part of like different group chats. Yep. We have to coordinate holidays together. Sometimes we travel together. But like,
oh, then yes, that's definitely keeping it. I mean, so
but I don't talk to them on the phone, and they're all very religious and like they can't watch my comedy. So yeah.
Oh, really? Are they religious? Where do they
live? They live in North Carolina and Maryland. Yeah. So it's okay. It's a lot of people who really love Jesus, who do not understand.
I grew up in Alabama, yes. So I feel you. I'm going there
good
tomorrow.
Good luck.
Thank you. Just got my COVID test. It's
hell
negative.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. So you are not white. You pass.
Thank you.
Also, it's always strange when like people like, because I have cousins who are really religious too, but like I'm in a WhatsApp thing with them, so like
yeah,
I have to like engage at some point, but it's like I have a cousin who lives down the block and a lot of like Dan, like all of my friends have met her and they're always like my white friends are always like, oh my god, you're close to your cousin, and I'm like, yeah, she literally moved down the block so we could be neighbors like during this time, like it's
people are always surprised too. Yeah, like I'm always talking about my cousins. Yeah. Like they're I've like met 80% of my friend
and
group.
I've met Athira's cousins and Athira's met mine. We've like been at each other.
That's so cool.
I've met your like yeah. And then our cousins,
yeah,
hang,
we literally were like, let's get our cousins to hang out. And now it'll just be a whole family hangout. Like it's, yeah.
That's great.
But this is someone I remember asking them where this like topic came from. It was a white person. And I was like, oh, how many cousins do you have? And they're like first cousins. They like couldn't remember. Like they didn't know. I was like, I have 61 first
61.
Cousins. And I know that because I listed them. Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's not, I'm not, we're not.
I can't name them off the top of my head, but if I had like three, I could, under 10, I feel like you could. Because typically, I feel like white people have smaller families like not as many cousins. So I feel like it should be even easier to be in touch.
Because it's just like, oh, my mom's brother and that one child, that's my cousin. Yeah.
Right.
Jeez Louise.
Right.
61. They're like in my extended family, and I know this because we have to, like, I make a spreadsheet for Christmas about, like, what the process is for cooking. No, because sometimes I swear to God, like, if I am tasked with doing the cooking for Christmas, there is a different column for prep areas, cooking surfaces, and ovens that we have at our disposal. The microwave also has a column. So when people are like, oh, I'll just whip up something, it's like, no, you won't. No. Because you'll throw off everything else, and that means this will be burnt and this will be undercooked. Mm-hmm. So we will slot it in, and we will move these things around based on cooking times. Okay.
That is amazing. I love this. Are you going back to North Carolina?
I am not, because they don't act right. They like church too much, and they're like, we went to church. And I'm like, well, you're never seeing me again. Yeah, that's where it's done.
Right, right.
My mom until like just last week was like, what's the big deal? Like, just come by. And she lives like really close by too. But I was like, you hang out with every member of the family. Like, no, I'm not having, and our house is tiny, like pretty small. And it's like, no, in the past 15 people weren't meant to be in that house. And now, especially, it's not now, like, they canceled it, which is good, but
good. Yeah.
Yeah. Only cause she got COVID.
Oh shit.
But
okay.
She's a teacher. She's a, like, she's a para. So like, and she wasn't going anywhere, but like her school didn't like shut down when they had cases. So now she's, you know,
yikes. So now everything's shutting down. But hey, even more, go to those apps. Go to OkCupid. I don't know why I'm playing.
This is a note from Jafar Khan, who was like, start fucking your friends. So
I did that too. I don't recommend it. I also did that. And I would say,
don't
do that. Just unless you and your friend come to an agreement right before you sleep together, and the agreement is, this will not be weird. And then you say it 25 times and he's like, yeah, it won't be weird. It won't be weird.
It will be weird.
Yeah. And it isn't. Yeah.
If you say it won't be weird 25 times, by the end of that, it's definitely
weird.
Yeah.
That makes things even weirder. You should just be like,
it's going to be
a little weird. If this is weird, we're not that good friends to begin. Go with someone you're not really good friends with.
Yeah, someone who's like two steps, like an acquaintance who's like not best friends with any of your best friends.
Oh, that was smarter. Yeah. I should have done this podcast weeks ago.
We should have had you on before.
No, I've learned so much.
Okay, so please keep us posted, though, on the bar if you go to the
bar
by yourself.
I will send you guys an update because it is on my to-do list. I'm looking at it right now. It's talk
please
to a stranger.
Send us an update.
I will.
Send us a picture from the bar so we have proof. And then I also want the other half of the elliptical shown. Send us a picture of that at some point. No, okay. Oh, it's real.
It's real.
Damn, I wanted to think it was an illusion.
That is a neoprene waist trainer because
I don't know why I'm being so untrusting right now. I'm normally overly trusting, you know, life.
You're a New Yorker. It makes sense.
Life, but especially right now on the podcast, I'm like, Denise, tell me what you've done. No, but I really want to see if you go to a bar, maybe that'll encourage me to go somewhere alone.
Hell yeah. Or I was like, the weather's going to be nice this weekend. Yep. Maybe the last, maybe not the last. Just at like 6 o'clock. It doesn't even have to ruin your whole night. You can just go. Yeah. And then you can be like, well, I got that drink and I talked to that one guy. That wasn't worth it. And now I'm going to go home because I've accomplished my goal.
Hell yeah. Well,
I like it. Well, keep us posted, and thank you so much for being here and, you know, talking to us and being so open. It's been awesome to finally see you and have you, even though it's a pandemic, and hopefully we'll stay in touch in 20 years.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you want to, where can people find you? Plug yourself.
So you can find me all over the internet at Kenise Mobley. That's on Twitter. That's on Instagram. That's on Facebook. That's on Venmo. Hello. It's Kenise Mobley across all of them. I have a podcast, which Amama alluded to earlier. We're having our season 2 premiere on December 15th. We have new guests. We have people who have silly predicaments. We discuss them. I give bad advice. I take bad advice. Listen. Subscribe. Do all that stuff. You get it.
Yes, we're...
Do
and
it.
We'll put all of the information on our podcast page, and definitely listen to Kenise's podcast. It's so much fun. And all of your guests are always like just like a riot.
Thank you.
You can find me at Amama Sardar across all platforms.
And you can find me at Ethereacube also across all platforms, including Venmo, which I didn't even think to say. But hey, why not? If you should feel the need.
It's worked.
Or the spirit moves you.
Yeah.
And then follow us at NoFlyListPod. And we do have a Patreon. So if you do want to throw some bucks, throw it at our Patreon. And enjoy the holidays. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.